The more you get used to that cold, the more the blood vessels in the skin are able to modulate, and the blood pressure is excessively lower levels and helps strengthen the immune system.
Welcome to Forever Young, the health and well-being podcast from Lanzerhof. My name is Mario Pedizzoli, and in every episode, join me in conversation with a variety of health experts and special guests as we explore what it means to live well. We may not find the secret to eternal youth, but join me on our quest as we explore just what it means to live a balanced, healthy, and happy life. Hello again, and welcome. In today's show, we are lowering the temperature to minus 110 degrees centigrade, to be precise, as we look at the benefits of cold therapy, alternatively known as cryotherapy. Well, cold therapy itself is nothing new. Think ice baths, ice packs, cold showers, plunge pools. Indeed, it has been used medicinally for thousands of years, and the benefits include quicker muscle recovery, reduced inflammation, and enhanced sleep, to name just a few. The physical and mental health benefits of frequent exposure to cold are numerous, and our skin can reap the benefits too. In the last few years, there has been increasing coverage on cold therapy, with Wim Hof, also known as the Iceman, gaining an international reputation and loyal following all around the globe, as he credits his superhuman feats to cold exposure. In this introductory overview, we shall take a look at how cold therapy can enhance performance, cognition, fat loss, cellular resilience, detoxification, anti-aging, and much, much more. Well, to help us make sense of it all is Samson Garwood, Lanzerhof at the Arts Club's resident trainer, strength and conditioning coach, cryotherapy expert, and enthusiast. And that's not all. During lockdown over the last 3 months, Samson and his dog Nala have gained a loyal following for their weekly Instagram Live workout classes as they set about keeping the Lanzerhof community fit. Well, sadly, Nala cannot be with us today, but Samson, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Mario. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And regards to Nala.
Oh, she's great. Apologies she can't be here.
So let's talk about the topic du jour. And today, cryotherapy. There are many listening who have not tried cryotherapy before. But let's talk generally. What are the different forms of cold therapy?
Well, starting with the most common and easily obtained would be the ice pack or the gel pack. We're all used to those. It's an isolated, localized area, so can perform some loss of inflammation, but however, it's not really enough to make a full body extreme method difference. So when you start looking towards the ice baths, predominantly seen with many athletes, I think Andy Murray was very strong at coining it. He used to film himself with his bottle of champagne in the bath, showing that it wasn't too hard, but let's be honest, you take a little bit more time to prepare that with setting up your ice and your water and in your wheelie bin. Most people can actually end up doing it too, but it's the bravery factor, which is quite a difference in the different extreme wet, cold. Further developments came then by the pods. Lots of people saw them in, I think Harrods even had them in shopping centers where you'd stick your head out and you look like you're getting absolute freezing inside, but there was too much fluctuation within the temperature inside it. So they found that as heat rises, cool goes lower. You get very cold feet. So it was great for cryotherapy within the feet, but it was hard to measure what actual good it's doing for the full body as an all-encompassing. So then again, that could only go down to maybe 45, 50 degrees, minus 50s, roughly. But then the single chamber came out, and the single chamber could go to minus 80 degrees. And as a cryo chamber, it becomes more of a dry feeling of cold, because obviously you're breathing in the cold air, which it cools your body from within. Mm-hmm. So it's coming down on a cellular level rather than just an outside touching the surface of the skin. Wanted to get even lower. So they pushed even more to get into minus over 100s, and then they realized that a pre-chamber was definitely required.
So you mentioned there, maybe we should dwell on that, the difference between wet cold and dry cold.
Yeah, of course. So a wet cold is something which creates a response to the body which is very different to a dry cold. It actually decreases the blood flow to the limbs and the skin because it wants to protect the heart. A wet cold suddenly makes you rush into, you know, fight or flight. Let's just hold on to the extremities of what's needed. The obvious difference is with a dry cold is that it actually works the other way. It knows you're fine. It releases a lot more blood flow to the rest of the body in the extremities, so it wants to reach the hands and the fingers, and hence that's why the cryo chambers of the dry cold can be a lot more beneficial.
Got it. And that's what we're focusing on today, I guess. And again, thinking of that person who is considering this for the first time, you must have seen this countless times in supervising cryotherapy sessions with members and clients. And as a trainer, you appreciate the importance of motivating and educating your clients and their behaviors. But how on earth do you convince someone to step into minus 110 degrees centigrade? There's a leap of faith there, right?
No, of course there is. And there's not only faith, there's trust too. And it's down to our training at Lanzerhof being very prepared and very aware of people's anxieties or trepidations, and we can see it building. It's an exciting thing. It's different, and whether it be first time you went in the sauna, I'm pretty sure your breathing changes and everything becomes a little bit more okay. Self-preservation and what's happening right now. So we like to. I mean, it's very minimal amount of time that goes in. So we make them completely sure and safe that no matter what happens, we're right there. We're not leaving them. We don't say, okay, we'll go and get a cup of tea. We'll be back shortly. No, we're with them. We speak through the microphone with them at any time.
Yeah.
And also there's a bit of a stiff door, which has been a bit of a thing where the ice builds up just like in a fridge freezer, and you've got to give it a little bit of a push. But as I've said to a couple of people, no matter what happens, we're diving in there and getting you right out of there if you have kind of issues at all. But
good.
No one as at all had anything in that way. But it's just getting them to breathe deeply and calmly, and bit of distraction techniques can sometimes be a bit more of a benefit, and the most serious question to ask them, which is, what song are you going to have inside the cryo chamber?
Oh, that's true. That's a very nice, comforting way of passing the time.
It's 3 minutes. That's nothing. But if it is Justin Bieber or one of the worst songs you're not a fan of, it's about an hour. It feels real long.
Same time it takes to boil an egg.
Exactly. Precisely. And to be fair, that's down to debate. When we first go in there, it's only a minute. We're only going to get your body used to it. So it's 30 seconds in the first chamber, which drops down to minus 60. And then you go straight across into the minus 113 for 1 minute to start. And then we have not had hardly anyone run out or feel too claustrophobic in any way.
Yes. Well, what are the preparatory steps you take before they step in, in terms of supervising the session medically and safely?
Yeah, of course. We vary very differently to a lot of other spas. And as I said before, the kind of the Harrods pod on the thing, that will be, are you well? Yes, I'm great. Let's go. We're a little bit more medically led. So we go down a much more comprehensive screening process for the initial session anyway. It's quite a few pages, but it just covers all bases. Anything that someone may not have remembered or forgotten, rather, in terms of things like Reynolds disease and different areas of things of having a pacemaker fitted and stuff like that. We just want to get that checklist all completely done so we know exactly what we're dealing with someone going into it. Mm. Then we look, after we've looked at the medical history, we then go down to look at why they're doing it as well, and the process of how long they need to be in there, and what have they recently just done? Have they just sprinted in? Are they late? They come into the session late, and all of a sudden they're quite sweaty inside, not quite realise that the more oil, or if they've had a massage, but the more oil or water droplets on the skin, creams, lotions, whatever it may be, this could actually cause quite an irritation to the skin. And again, it's something that you're so excited about going in the cryo chamber, you won't mention you've just had a massage, full body massage. And that's something we have to be careful of, because we'll monitor the blood pressure and the heart rate post and post, so before and after, just to see the difference. But also the cold temperatures is what we really focus on too, because we look at five sites, so arm, bicep, abdominals, quad and calf, all varying thicknesses of body mass, size of muscle and fat, and then we retest them afterwards, because we want to get that at least 10 degree drop. If it gets a response of 10 degrees, then we know that
that's the optimum.
Exactly.
Okay. And actually, let's talk about the benefits and how it can boost our immune system, and that the immune system, we've been talking a lot about our own immunity and immune system in these pandemic times. What is the link between cold therapy and the boost we get?
Well, of course, it's the short-term answer is yes. There's always a great immune response. It's more about regularly taking these treatments as well to get an everlasting immune response. But it's the thermal conditioning, which is basically getting used to the cold. So the more you get used to that cold, the more the blood vessels in the skin are able to modulate, and the blood pressure is excessively lower levels and helps strengthen the immune system. Mm-hmm. This can't be done with one session. This has got to be done over time. It's conditioning, as I said. The conditioning of the skin starts to have lower levels of stress within it. So the idea is for the production of white blood cells to be greatly produced.
Yes. Okay. So that's what's happening in the body when we're exposed to the cold. And there are other benefits, I think, with sleep behavior as well. It can improve sleep patterns. Is that right, Samson?
Yes. Yeah, certainly. So with the sleep, I mean, it's more looking at, that's to be fair, that's the biggest feedback we get from all of our clients, is that, oh my God, my sleep has dramatically improved. And to a degree, this is all down to the serotonin effect. Right. The levels being built up, it should improve the quality of our sleep, allows better cellular renewal. So our cell production only really happens effectively when we're asleep, and when our brain's being cleaned. Anyway, this can take place fighting against infections, but basically it's, you know, you lie down, you get a much better sleep, and you're all powered up and ready to go for the next day.
You mentioned the feeling of euphoria when we step out of a successful cryotherapy session, and I've experienced that myself. You know, that I was and am that terrified person at the prospect of stepping in. So there's definitely an endorphin release, and I didn't know if it was just because I've survived the experience in the first place. But tell us a little bit more about that feeling of euphoria.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's something that everyone feels instantly on a short-term basis when they leave the chamber. It's whether or not it's I've survived, or whether or not it's, oh my God, this feels amazing, I feel set for the day. But yeah, it's a combination, really, of reducing the cortisol level of stress within the body, which is great for your management of general well-being. But there is definitely a happy hormone release of endorphin. I'll let to learn to say that word properly.
I won't ask you to spell it. But.
And anyway, this does literally mean the happy hormone. And people do get an elevated mood. They feel great. And it's different with different people, how long it lasts, or if they get it every single time. But more often than not, I've never seen anyone leave the chamber looking moody.
So for mental health, which again is a real topic that we're all increasingly aware and talking about, combating stress, anxiety, even depression, it has its benefit?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I mean, some people, even someone said to me before, they like to plan their day in the chamber, and if you're instantly getting, you know, that feeling of happiness once you're in there, you're going to plan a real happy day. You're going to plan a productive day. You're not going to look at the bad parts of your day in depressiveness. You're going to try and tackle them in the most positive way possible. Which again, you know, mental health is massive. And how do you qualify or quantify how good your mental health is hard. I mean, we don't know necessarily until it all builds to a head, and then we just break down. But if you've got a constant coping mechanism to make sure you're getting that little bit of happiness at the beginning of the day and everything, that, as I say, that lifts your mood up and sets you for the day. I mean, imagine you've got up early, you've done your training session, which is hard enough in itself, then you feel like you've done real hard and doing just 2-3 minutes in the cryo to take away that training effect of feeling so tired. It brings you up, and so you're set.
So it's almost too good to be true, Samson. It only takes 2 or 3 minutes. So to get all these feelings of euphoria and as well as all the physical benefits. But let's talk about the optimum amount of time spent in there. You mentioned a body temperature drop. Is the optimum time determined by the temperature drop?
Yes, to a degree, yeah. And right. And what your body's response is to that temperature drop. I mean, we've noticed, and there's great research that says that anything that goes past 10 to 12 degrees of a drop is not going to be much more beneficial to the body. I mean, that's not saying that the full 3 minutes isn't beneficial, because I think we've even noticed with some clients mentally just being able to sustain or even start with that minute and then over time being building up to get that 2-3 minutes Yeah. It's a real sense of achievement.
Of course.
And especially when they know themselves, I was rubbish on that 1 minute. Do you remember? I was just running around. I can do, you know what to do?
Yes.
And then they get better and better at it. I mean, I did the same with cold showers, to be honest. I'd always have a 6 to 8, it's really sad to say this, I had a 6 to 8 minute shower every day. And I started off with 30 seconds of the cold at the beginning. And then put on the warm and felt lovely and oh, thank God. And then start to build it back up again. And I feel more and more, I'm now 4.5 minutes to about 3 minutes warm at the end.
An ice cold shower.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, as cold as you can get it when you're in showers, which might be like 7 degrees, 8 degrees. Ice baths get you down to like 3-4 degrees. Cryotherapy gets you to -113. So if you start looking at that kind of, what is the efficacy or the you know, the comprehensiveness of having a cold ice bath, you'd have to have it for about 30 minutes to get the same benefits as you would for a 3 minutes cryo.
Which of course is hell on earth. So again, leads us back to cryotherapy.
Exactly. And yeah, it is hell on earth. And you sounds like you've done it yourself there. Yes. To know that feel.
Yeah, no
but
need
again,
to go
it's
back
it's a shock
there.
Factor. That's what gets taken away.
So with anything as extreme as this, there are risks, presumably, of course, and side effects and contraindications. Let us explore that a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, again, relating from the euphoric feeling, there is a almost happy high down to a crash, I suppose. It's not immense. It's not instant, but they may feel a bit more fatigued later on in the day. I'm not promoting going to have a nap. Or anything like that, as one client said, oh, I have a lovely nap off. Let's not do that. But yes, so there are certain things that side effects come with to it. If for the first time of doing it, we noticed that, I think, with Sebastian, actually, on one of his first times of doing the cryo chamber, he didn't quite realise, but all of a sudden on his elbows, he started to get slightly darker patches. And it was Reynolds disease that he didn't quite realise. It's something that lots of people aren't aware they have. So that's why on that first time, we will only have it 1 minute maximum and be very analytical and looking at them, how they're responding.
But if 1 minute shows a temperature drop of 10 to 12 degrees, that is, there's no necessarily a reason to go beyond them.
No, exactly, for sure.
Got it. Is there anyone that shouldn't try cryotherapy?
Well, I mean, there's different rules for different establishments. I think in some spas, they'll open it quite up, but we're medically run, so we like to keep it with certain contraindications. Anyone with pacemaker, anyone with heart issues or palpitations in ways that have not been seen by a nurse before and just double checked through. Also pregnancy wise, we don't have children in the facility anyway, but we're not open to -18, not letting children in. And then there's different indications which would have all gone through your screening process, which would have come up. So we'd be able to highlight that and suggest it might not be suitable.
Mm-hmm. Talking of age, you mentioned those under 18. What about the effects of cold therapy on the aging process?
Yeah, no, of course.
I speak as someone who is very keen to know that it has anti-aging benefits.
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of considerations out there by spas, by different places that have cryotherapies that are championing it as part of their main benefits. As a therapeutic option, you know, there's aesthetic medicine, obviously people know of. It's also mentioned on the possibility for scarring. The improved collagen within the levels that are built up does improve for tighter skin. So to get that elasticity of your skin, a little bit of a boost, like it can't be, it's not detrimental. Whether or not I would possibly say the data's there to show it's really, really, you know, 20 cryos, how can you calculate exactly what that's going to do to your body or where you were before? Because there's so many other stresses that go into it. I mean, I always say that they say hair and nail quality as well. And we've even had a lot of people ask for cellulitis. Is there a reduction in cellulitis? And it's often raised. And to a degree, you know, the data doesn't show that it definitely does, but saying that, the effects on your blood vessels, modulating the elasticity of the skin, it is an increase in collagen. So there's nothing reduction against it, but oxidative stress, improvements of stress handling, these are all things that are going to give you a better complexion. But I have kind of said to a few other people before, it's more about what you put in your body and where your body's going in terms of pollution and
decelerating. So lifestyle choices will always 100%. Have a far,
and we all know that,
greater bearing. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Fat loss and presumably therefore weight loss can also be incorporated into your routine for those benefits too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, it's a bit like the anti-aging one. There's definitely properties in there that is going to give you that benefit, but we don't seem to champion it again as a major primary benefit. So, you know, this cryotherapy has been shown to enhance lipid metabolism, which in theory can benefit fat loss. The hormone norepinephrine comes out, which is released. That's your body's fight or flight survival mode. So that acts on the fat cells and it helps to mobilize lipids to use that as burned energy. So there is science behind that does show that. The effect on the metabolism can be brought on by the cold shock. It helps maintain that homeostasis, what we said before about just getting used to your body being cold.
Yes.
And that's known as thermogenesis.
Right.
By enduring the cold, that's what you mentioned earlier with Wim Hof as well, you know, the cold extended periods, you're burning fat to stay warm. Again, whether or not the more period of times you have it, the less of effect it would be because your body gets used to that. That's another discussion.
Okay. So then the question that will come from that is typically, you know, so how many calories are burned in cryotherapy?
Tell me.
How many
less training sessions do I have to do?
Is it a Mars bar? Or, you know, how much is it?
Exactly. I mean, it's very individual on the person itself. I would say that promoting it as a primary benefit is going to give people bad expectations. And you see it with spin classes as well. When that first came out with spin classes, oh my God, spin class, you can lose 800 calories. I mean, that's the person next to you because they've been flying off their thing. And, you know, you've really got to appreciate the individualism of this. And don't use it as a main benefit. And, you know, we can't have watches and things in there, so you can't calorie count of, oh, my Apple Watch has told me that, oh, has it? let's not go for that. Let's look at the other benefits.
Yes.
I mean, because that's also confused as well. We've had someone mention it before with cryolipolysis, which is the fat freezing.
Ah, the targeted cryo.
Exactly.
Right.
And that, I think we've had a few members, had a few sessions on that and things. I whether or not that's successful or not, I think it's the stubborn fat, they call off, trying to get those problem areas away. It can come down to skin and skin folds being folded. And that's something very different that we don't offer.
Let's talk about performance and recovery, which we know that there's real proven scientific benefit there and a lot of data to back that up. Let's talk about that, not just with sportsmen and professional athletes, but for all of us. Maybe expand on that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we consider this as possibly one of the main primary benefit, or reduction of inflammation. So obviously this can dramatically reduce our, it's known as DOMS, but delayed offset muscle soreness is something which we all experience. And to a degree, you shouldn't chase pain, but you do want to get a good response from something. And to get an adaptation, you need to go through a bit of soreness. That's just how it is. And again, it may come, DOMS come 12 to 72 hours after your session. So you may feel great the following day. I'm going to do another big back session or squat session. Then all of a sudden, bang, you're inadequate to walk. Sitting down, standing up, going upstairs is horrible. So that side of things has been and again, some people say mentally as well, whether or not you think, oh, if I don't do my cryo, I'm not going to be able to walk. That's not the case. It's cryo's going to benefit that and add to your training, which accelerates the fast recovery between sessions, which means you can train more, which is obviously the goal, what we want to do. But the timing of the therapy for pre and post training is still under debate. There's lots of, I think it's individualism, really, which some people feel they prep and prime their body for a session by coming beforehand, and it does. It acts great for the brain on focusing your attention, getting your mindset set in place. But we've seen a lot more benefit as well post-training, except if you're trying to hypertrophy. If you're trying to build muscle mass, there is a lot of... it's kind of the opposite. So inflammation in the body to build muscles, your muscles get pumped, they get bigger. And then you go into the cryo, you lose that response. So we don't push it for hypertrophy, but that's only an hour's wait afterwards. That is what research is suggesting. But for many other people just building strength or just, you know, quality of well-being in their sessions, the soreness is definitely gone. It's definitely reduced.
Reduced And so, as you talk about DOMS, you know, 24, 48 hours is sort of maximum period of pain. you would see a noticeable benefit and less pain as a result of cryo post workout.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's been quite evident with lots of our clients that, you know, some train ridiculously hard, and I think that hard, I would always back in the day would have said, have a rest day. You've trained so hard, you can't just split it to upper body, lower body. The strain on the central nervous system in itself when you're working that hard. But we have a lot of look, trained 4 to 5 times a week, and saying that cryo has been very beneficial, even in the way of some people when nothing, it went down for a week or we were shut for a week. People was able to notice their sleep as well as their actual muscles after workouts. They just didn't have the energy. They wasn't you know, brought back up to their original self. They still feel they're carrying some of the cell damage.
And for those people that maybe through wear and tear are managing pain or arthritis actually in later years, are there benefits of cryotherapy on those conditions?
Yeah, again, it's still early days of being fully quantifiable, but I think you can talk best by personal experiences. And I've been with Lanzhof since it opened for 2 years, and we had to use the cryo chamber for training early on, so I was trying to get in as much as I could. I've got a medial meniscus issue with my knee, which means that squatting wise and things, I can completely tell you how far my range of motion is before I feel pain, and started to realize that going into the cryo, I can go a lot further. And you know, when I come out of the cryotherapy chamber, it was back to normal. But in terms of the actual range of motion, just putting my leg through that flexion of the knee actually was very beneficial, because not only it went with no pain, which I've not felt for a long time, but it gives you confidence, it gives you absolute belief and confidence of, okay, this is something I want to get better. And you know, arthritis is something that hits us all. There's no way of slowing it down fully. It's something that's always going to be there. It's whether it's impact or our age or how we walk or what our gait's like. This is definitely going to alleviate some sort of pressure around the actual joints. So the inflammation brings down the tendons, ligaments, as well as muscles.
Yes.
Can give you a little bit more space freed up to move.
Very good. Fascinating. Oh, and actually then, with all the benefits that we've discussed today, how often should we be taking cryotherapy sessions?
Yeah, of course. Well, I think it's a good way of saying it, related to IVs and things like that, to get your body really working on a bit of a good strong response to it, and actually as you feel the benefits straight away, a good 3 to 4 times a week just for the first initial week is definitely worth doing. And then after that, just relating it to maybe once or twice a week, or like our members do, in conjunction with your training. And you know, there's different benefits of if you had a big old leg session and everything, and then you wanted to go into the chamber and you don't want to move around that much. We do some guided distraction, which, you know, can be spine health, just a little bit of flexion extension in different ways and slow movements. But that's something that people quite like, because it's a bit of routine and it gets them a little bit, also knowing how long until it's going to be over as well, because you go through a whole program of these stretches, they get used to the final ones almost. But I would recommend it's very individualized. You know, the frequency for enhancing your performance, we're not athletes, we're not all like professional, you know. We don't need a cryo chamber twice a day every day.
No.
You're going to get some benefits from it, but it can be a bit of overkill sometimes.
Okay, well, for any information on cryotherapy that you require, or any of our services for that matter, do email lanzerhoff@theartsclub.co.uk. And maybe as a parting shot, Samson, for anyone wishing to try cryotherapy for the first time, other than getting in touch with us, what advice would you give generally?
I would say, make sure that it's medically led if you're going somewhere which isn't here. Nurses on site. I mean, there is things that can go wrong at sometimes, and you want to know benefit-wise of there's someone right next to you who knows what's going on. And be brave. Give it a go. Because, you know, the minute you say minus 113 degrees, no one knows what that feels like. No one on the earth does. It's, you know, greatest depths of Antarctica and things might be minus 40, 50.
Yes.
You can't quantify it. So give it a go. And just see what you think of it.
Something to talk about at dinner parties for months to come.
100%, exactly. Exhilarating.
It is exhilarating, and this has been a real education, Samson. Thank you very much, and I'm sure our listeners are going away with a lot of food for thought. And if you haven't tried it, please do go ahead and contact us if you'd like to arrange a session, or wherever you are, make sure it's medically led and supervised, and enjoy the experience. Samson, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary. Take care.
Thank you.